I told you guys that I was excited about this service or this sermon series, and I always am, obviously, because anytime we get to preach the Word of God, it's just exciting. But one of the things I wanted to do was define the words all and in. I think they're really important. Matter of fact, guys, the word all is in the Word of God quite a bit. Now, one thing about the word all is that it's not exclusive or inclusive, and all doesn't always mean all the time. All right? It doesn't mean all. For instance, everyone knows Philippians 4, 18, that, you know, that I can do all things in Christ that gives me strength. But I shouldn't kick Robert with all of my strength, and I can do that with Christ Jesus, you know? Like, I can do anything, right? I can punch Robert right in the face all the time with God's strength. See, that doesn't make sense, right? So it's not all. All's not in this nature of all means all. Do you guys understand that? Now, I'm going to read some scriptures that mean all does all, all right? But, and then, so defining the word all, and according to Webster's Dictionary, the whole amount, quantity, or extent of every member or individual component of, that's what the word all means, but doesn't mean that it's exclusive or inclusive all the time. So we have to be very careful on the word all. So even when you read the scriptures, all. So I've even heard people, they misuse that Philippians 4 all the time. All the time. See, I just did it. But I've heard people use it often. See, not all. See, not all the time. But I've heard it quite often how people will misuse the word all. And that's something really important. So what I'm trying to teach you, of anything today, there's one thing you can get out of this, is that to be careful when you're reading the scriptures, to not just try to gulp the whole chapter at once, but to slowly digest each verse where you can learn and observe each word and to define it. Even the word world is misused at times in the scriptures, not by the scriptures, but by us when we're reading it. So we have to worry, we have to be careful about word world and all often, okay? So, now the word in, let me define that in the use of the Webster Dictionary, is used as a function word to indicate inclusion, location, or position within limits. Used as a function word to indicate purpose. So for me, and the title of this message series of All In, for me, what I'm trying to portray to you is that as a church, and what Jesus had actually indicated and had began with starting the church, the importance of the church. And I'm talking about the body of believers, the Christ body of believers. That's us. You know, he ordained this. Jesus Christ wanted this to happen. We have a lot of folks that they get tainted by church. They get upset. They get angry. They get in offense. And I get it. People hurt people. Okay. We know this and we are imperfect. We learned about that even this past month with the Honor Message series. People are imperfect and we know that. And it's hard. And that's why it's important as mature believers, we begin to look from the cross towards people, towards the children of God. So in times and oftentimes, and I've even seen it actually, the church actually hurts people more than the world hurts people, because they use and they misuse the word of God to choke people out. And it's really sad at times. And they misuse scriptures and it's hard. And it's hard because that's where you found that this place is a place of refuge, love, healing, restoration. And what happened was, people hurt people, and it's sad. And I hope that's not the case at Trailhead. I pray that, man, we're always being real careful to show that love, to be that love, to be examples of Christ in all that we do. So when I say I want us all in, and that we're devoted to one another, that we're devoted to doing the things of Christ Jesus, and that we do it with love and compassion and passion, with vision and with the strength of Christ Jesus, that we can go through obstacles and we can look at each other at the end of it and we can say we're sorry if we hurt one another, or we can glorify Jesus Christ through it all and lock arms even stronger, and that we're all in, that we are bound to the things of Christ Jesus. You know, with that scripture in Philippians 4, Paul's examining what he goes through on a regular basis in the mission field and doing things. And he's actually excited. He's giving thanks towards the gifts he's received from the Philippians. And he's excited about what's happening. And he's even said, man, I've learned how to go through life with little, how to go through life with a ton, you know, with everything and overabundance. And that's exciting. I mean, Paul's explaining, man, I've learned. And in all of that, in all of those instances and seasons I've gone through, the hardships, the good stuff, the bad stuff, all of it, I mean, I can do it all through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. Now, do you understand the context of the all with Christ Jesus? It's not that I can do all things. I'm going to jump off this stage and begin to fly, because Jesus Christ gave me that ability. All things. Do you understand? You can't use the word all the time. It's not like that. And so that's where you got to be careful. Okay? So I'm going to read some scriptures right now that bring the word all is all the time. And it really brings us to a point of the purpose of the church, the understanding of who we are in Christ Jesus, and the ability to be all in. Okay, so I want you to turn your Bibles right now to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always. That's another word that means all, always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know how you find yourself in a circumstance? As if you're in it, right? See, a lot of times people want to sit on their hands. They want to look from a distance. I'm not doing that, right? Not going to do it. I went to someone's house this past week. They wanted to show me their house. It actually used to belong to Nicole Farmer and Brian Farmer. And so we know the new owners. And they were like, you should come. We want to show you what we're doing. And I walked into the house, and they were remodeling everything. Not just one area of the house, but the entire house. And I said, nope, no thank you. I immediately got discouraged. I immediately was like, not going to partake in your craziness. I'm like, no way, right? And so I am not a part of that, right? And I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice in all things. But I realize that I'm not a part of your circumstance. Man, am I thankful. And the reason is because, one, I'm not equipped to do that. I'm doing other things in life. And I thought, no way. Now, he wasn't asking me to partake or help either. I wasn't rude. It wasn't like, hey, I want you to help me out with my floor, you know, whatever. No. He was just showing me. He was excited about the circumstance that he was in. I use this illustration to say is that when you give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, you need to ask yourself, what is God's will? What is God's perfect and pleasing will? What is that? Well, we know that the Word of God, a lot of us may even be on some journey right now to discover what that is. So you have this idea that you need to go some on top of some mountain and hear the big booming voice of God. But I got to tell you guys, God's already told you what His will is in the Word of God, right? And that was actually the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, where He tells us to go out, preach the gospel, to go out and teach people, to profess and declare the name of Jesus, to see people get saved, to see people get baptized, to see people get filled with the Holy Spirit, that their life is changed. Guys, so this is important. That's God's will, good and pleasing, perfect will. And that in those moments, man, we're going to gain wisdom, treasures. We're going to read about the treasures in just a second. But all of these good things are going to come to us as we begin to do the work and the will of the Father. When you begin to do the work and the will of the Father, guess what? Guess what? We've already read it. Is that you can do all things through Christ. So all things are only inclusive to when you're doing the work of the Father. So if you're on a boat and God says, walk on water, you can do it. Right? When you need to go and pray and lay hands on the sick, they will get healed. It's knowing this. It's knowing and understanding that authority. All right? That's the difference. Is all things. Well, I can do all things when I'm doing the works of the Father, when I'm doing what God's called me to do, which is the will, which I just explained it, and you learn it here at church, and you'll hear that in just a second, then in all circumstances, you are involved in it. You are in it. So in all circumstances, you can rejoice. You can give thanks. You can pray continually. You can do these things when you're in the circumstance. A lot of people, they don't want to be a part of the circumstance. Like, I don't want to be a part of my neighbor's house. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't need to give thanks or rejoice. Now, I can pray for him from a distance. But I do not need to be a part of that. All right? But I don't also get to reap the rewards. I don't live in his house. I won't get to walk on his new hardwood floor or his new shower, which it'd be creepy anyway. And I don't get to walk into his new kitchen with marble everything, you know, whatever. I'm making up stuff. I don't know what he's putting in there. But I don't get to reap that. Why? Because I'm not in his circumstance. I'm not in it with him. I am not all in. But what I want us to do as a church is to be all in to the vision that Christ Jesus has given us for this church. And in that, we get to reap the rewards. That's why I know I overtalk it right now, but you got to remember, we're sponges in life. I mean, have you ever seen a child? I mean, at worship the other night, you know, Kayla and Ethan Oles, their little precious daughter, was the sweetest thing. She'd look at Dex, and all of a sudden, she'd do what Dex was doing, right? She looked over at my wife, Anna, and when she saw Anna raise her hand, she raised her hands. When she looked back and saw her mom was clapping, she was clapping her hands. We're sponges. You know, we're sponges. We are. We absorb those things around us. So for you, you may get sick and tired of this guy talking about our future home, but man, if you knew how exciting it's going to be, I mean, guys, I am the home makeover guy. I'm that guy on television where they put the bus in front, and then when they say, move that bus, and then the first thing the television show shows you is that guy's face, that family's face. They don't show you the house, do they? They show you what's happening on this, right? I'm that guy for you. Because I'm so excited about our future home. But I'm telling you, I'm just a sponge right now of all the things that I'm seeing God do over there. All the beautiful side of, you know, I love Ben. You guys know Ben. He and his wife, Caroline. Ben's the guy who's finishing everything for us. And, you know, I found out this past week, you know, he's not cutting corners one bit. You know, I thought we were just getting in certain areas of the children's department. Now, you children's workers, get ready to sing a hallelujah. I thought Ben was just going to buy, you know, that cheap insulation that we all have in all of our houses, the spongy stuff with the paper on one side. No way. Not Ben. Ben bought the wool stuff. The good stuff, the wool, like the thick stuff, right? And he's putting it up in every wall of the children's department. That's a Jesus moment right there. I didn't think they were doing that. I thought they were going to do it on a couple walls, you know, on the separation between children's church, main children's church, the first through fifth graders, and the nursery wall. I thought they were going to do it there. But no, he's doing every nook and cranny in the whole kids department. That's Jesus. I was like, thank you, Ben, for loving Jesus, right? And hearing from God. I knew that was a God moment. But what I'm trying to say is I am excited about the beauty of if you're all in and you're a part of what we're doing, you're going to reap the rewards. You're going to see people get saved. You're going to get to be and experience all that. So in it, rejoice always. Pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, the good, the bad, the ugly, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now that scripture means more. When you realize it, man, there's more to the all. There's more to being involved in that circumstance. and that you just don't bail, you just don't quit. I feel bad sometimes, always if people bail and they quit, and you're like, oh, if you only knew, you're right at the cusp, you're right here at the reward, you're right here, you're about to bail, don't bail. You're gonna miss out. Psalm 34, 1-3. I will extol the Lord. I will praise. I will be excited the Lord at all times. That's all. All means all right here. At all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I love how David, he's telling you, hey, it's inclusive. Everybody, exclusive. Now come in, all of us, right now, all of us, come in. He's inviting you. David's saying, hey, come in. Let's praise the Lord together. Let's do this. And when doing it, all the time. Now, not just some of the time. This is, he's saying all the time. That we rejoice. Man, I know sometimes it looks bleak, it looks ugly. Some of you guys in your workplaces, in your marriages, with your children, with your friends, sometimes it's hard, it's rough, it's tough. But this is where you don't stop. If you're giving God those relationships, if you're saying he is Lord over those things, then we rejoice in knowing he's putting it together, that he's going to bring it and mend it and make it whole again. And that's where we rejoice, and that's what David's saying. Rejoice. Why, though? He's saying, in those moments of praising him, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. They need to hear it. Other people need to hear, because they look over and go, whoa, 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 why are you so happy? I see what's happening in your you know, environment, in your circumstances, yet you're rejoicing. Man, that's a good thing. Then you're an example for others. You're the example to say, hey, God can do it. Let the afflicted hear. We have got to be that for people. So in Colossians chapter 3, 5-11, I love the title of the, you know, in some of your Bibles, it'll give you like a title description of the next group of verses. In mine, in the NLT, is living the new life. I love living the new life. I want a new life, you know? I want to live in that new life. Colossians chapter 3, 5-11, it says, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. There's that world, right? Now that's actually meaning the world. Right? The world, the sinful side of the world, okay? The world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters. And He lives in all of us. Guys, that's good stuff. This is where he's saying, man, you don't have a reason to continue to do all these sinful things because you have Christ. You have the greater one living inside of you. And inside of you that he lives, Christ is all that matters. You got to put him at the forefront of your thought, at the forefront of every action you take and all that you do. Christ Jesus is all that matters. You've got to begin to ask yourself the questions. Is Christ getting glorified in this? Right? Is he getting glorified in this? Man, that's important. It's so, so important. A new life. And I want to continue to keep reading. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6-13. And this is God's plan. Oh, isn't that great? For some of you in this room, you've been waiting for the big booming voice. Here it is. Ready?
This is God's plan.
All right. Here it is. I love it when I find young people and they go, man, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. I'm like, you know, you just told me you don't read the Bible. Like, that's it. You did. So even when I find adults, you're kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of lost right now. This is God's plan. This is pretty simple. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. People have those empty voids. That's why they ask those questions. What am I supposed to do next? What am I supposed to do? I mean, I don't even know, right? I feel lost. I feel abandoned. But it's telling us that here's the good news, that we can share equally in the Gentiles, the Jews. That's everyone. I mean, we just read it, the barbaric, the uncircumcised, the circumcised, all of us, that there are riches inherited by God's children. Okay? So for one, you're not down and out. I don't care how bad it is. Some of you may say, man, it's bad. I've got nothing to look forward to. That's not true. But we have the inheritance, the riches inherited by God's children. Now you got to discover what that is. Nope. So here we go. Both are part of the same body and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Blessings. You guys know, you need to start reading the blessings. Deuteronomy 28. You can read the blessings and the promises given to Abraham because in Galatians chapter 3, it tells us that we come from that same lineage now because we have a high priest according to Hebrews. Okay, our high priest, Jesus Christ, who is speaking on our behalf to our Father, giving us the good graces to come in and lay down all of these requests in front of our Father in heaven, and that those things will be met. Because why? Because we are doing the will of the Father according to Christ Jesus, who strengthens us to do these things. Therefore, all these things are possible. You got to know your inheritance. You got to know your authority that's given to you. You got to know who you are in Christ Jesus. It all makes sense when you put it all together and you go, man, now I get it. Because both are part of the same body, all of us. And both enjoy the promise and blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus. Verse 7, by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading this good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Endless. Endless treasures. For you that feel abandoned, for you that are hurting, you're closing your eyes off to the endless treasures. I love telling this story. I've told it a few times in our church, but man, I love this story. My father, my freshman year of college, my parents sent me off to college, and they didn't want me to have a job my freshman year. So my mom actually, she continued to work as a teacher so they could pay for the things I needed so that I could focus on school the very first college. I had good parents that just loved me. And I was so thankful for them that they took care of me my first year so I could just study and do what I was needed to do. All that to say, my dad, he would give me $20 a week. That's what he gave me. That's when gas was 89 cents a gallon. Your good days, right? And so I remember $20 a week my dad would put in my account. He'd put $20 in my account. And so back then you didn't have ATM cards. You had to write a check. And I remember writing cash, $20 in the bookstore at the college, and they would give me a $20 bill, and I would take, because I didn't have a bank that was local up there in that area. My parents, who were there, banked that was local to their hometown. And so I remember getting $20, and I'd write that check, and I'd get my $20, and I would, you know, man, I'd barely use it over here, and I'd barely use it over here, and I remember it was so great. But I was not the individual to check on how much was in that bank account. My dad told me it was $20, so it was $20 a week is all I got. What I didn't realize was my dad wasn't just putting $20 a week. He was just putting odd numbers of dollars in there. $75, $100, $25. He just put money in there. And he just assumed that I was a reckless child. and that I would just take more than $20 a week, which I never did. Matter of fact, I got a stop. I ran a stop sign in college, and I was being stupid. And I got pulled over, and I got a ticket, and I didn't think I had any money, and I didn't want to tell my parents. So I put a jar out in front of my college dorm room that said, "Ticket fund, help me." And people would go by and put change and dollar bills. And I had money in my account the whole time. I feel really bad, right? But I didn't bother to check the treasure that I had. So at the end of the school year, I go up to the bank and I said, I went to the bank, I took a check out to receive $20. And I remember writing $20 and I put it in the little cashier's drawer. And so she goes, "Are you only taking out 20 today, Mr. Gresham?" And I said, "Yeah, well, how much is in the account?" And it was thousands. It was over 1,000, almost close to like 2,000, I think. And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Oh, would you like to change your thing?" I go, "Yeah, I want it all." And she's all at the time, right then in the moment, all she had was just the check. And she looked at me and she goes, "I need to see your ID. I'll go, "Oh, it's mine. Oh, it belongs to me." I remember thinking, "Oh, it's mine. No, not a problem. Let me show you my ID," right? Oh, with gladness. I didn't take it all out that day. I took just a few $100 out that day. But boy, was I excited. So I went home, right? And I go home, I go, "Dad, there was like $1,000 plus, maybe $2,000 in that account." He's like, "Yeah?" He knew what was in there. And I said, "What in the world?" He said, "Why didn't you bother to check?" I go, "I don't know." Isn't it sad? That's how we live as a Christian. We think, "Oh, the blessings of God. Yeah, $20 a week. You know, we have this idea. Oh, I know the blessings of God. Yeah, you know, I'm blessed going in, blessed going out. You know, you've seen all the crochet little things on your grandma's wall. You know, you're like, "Oh, yeah, I know those blessings." The endless treasures available. Endless. Don't you guys want to know what those are? How do you find out how to do that? Well, the scriptures above says to pray continually. Rejoice always, right? Guys, this is the moment that you realize, I'm a son and a daughter of the Lord Most High. I have access to endless treasures and blessings. Because why? Because I'm all in. I'm in the circumstances. I'm involved in doing the will of the Father. I'm excited about these things. The endless treasures available to them in Christ. Verse 9, I was chosen to explain everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. I was chosen to explain, because this is important. This verse right here is important for the next verse. I was chosen to explain. What did Paul do? Paul was an evangelist. He was a missionary. He helped start churches. He established churches. He put pastors into place. The fivefold ministry, he would put all of these things into place. He was chosen to explain, right? I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. So to explain the mysterious plan all happens right here. This is where you gain wisdom. This is where you go and you say, "Man, that's it. God spoke to me today." Guys, you know what I love about this as a pastor? I love it when you guys come up to me afterwards and you go, "Hey, I love when you said this." And I'm like, "Never said that." It's because the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about something else. And my wife, at the end of my message, she'll actually take a bunch of notes and she'll say, "Hey, man, I love when you said this. Never said that. Hey, God spoke to me with these scriptures. Never said any of those scriptures." Like, that's just how it works. that God, in your circumstance, in what you're experiencing, what you're going through, God speaks to you the wisdom, the bountiful wisdom, the treasures that are endless. He speaks to you. He gives you these things, and it all happens right here in this church. It all happens. That it, so again, I'm going to say verse 10. God's purpose in all this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Man, isn't that great? This is so important that we recognize why we should be all in. That we can understand the circumstance, that we can be a part of it. We can see God's glory out of it. That we can seek his blessings and his endless treasures. That we can continue to pray without ceasing. That we can rejoice always. And that in those moments, in all circumstances, we can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. Because why? Because we're in the circumstance. We are all in it. And in it, we're going to receive things. And just as Paul talks in Philippians, no matter what the season is, whether it's bountiful or not bountiful, if it's hard, if it's easy, whatever it is, you learn how to work through it because Christ Jesus gives you the strength to do it. And then we do it without relenting, without fearing, without having a dismissal attitude of like, I don't have to do that and I'm not going to do it. God says, but you're going to miss out. That attitude, you're going to miss out. People want to quit. They want to run away. Don't quit and don't run away. Dig in deeper. Seek counsel and wisdom through Christ Jesus to come into those moments, to be open, honest, and direct. If you've been coming to this church for a long time, I've been teaching that for a long time now, that we don't walk in the fence, but that we're open, honest, and direct, and we come to one another, hey, let's talk. And then we get out all that's happening, and we say, and we love, and we do it in love. We don't do it with malice and anger and bitterness. We get those sinful things out of us. I'm sad to see that there's a lot of people, and I said a lot, not all, a lot of people, they're experiencing things in their life because they're not choosing to let go of the sinful nature and not choosing a new life in Christ Jesus. Years ago, I was a college pastor, and our first worship pastor was Hillary, and she's no longer here. She actually moved back to West Virginia. She's the worship pastor at my father-in-law's or my brother-in-law's church now, and so she was our first worship pastor here. And I remember in college, and she was one of my worship leaders then. She said to me, "She goes, you know, no one's really honest to your face." And I look at her and I go, what do you mean? She goes, everyone's different behind your back. Everyone's straight-laced. And I was saddened by that. I thought, so people act differently around me behind my back. Oh, yeah. People are way different than what you know them to be. And I was really sad by that because I thought, because I'm not Jesus. Jesus sees everything. Good, the bad, and the ugly, he sees it all. So it was weird for me. It's like people put on this facade of like, there's Pastor Josh. Let me be, you know. And it's like, like, you don't need to act like that. You need to be a new life, a new creature in Christ Jesus all the time. Jesus is the one who sees it. There's folks in this church right now. You're deceiving yourself if you're just sitting around here doing this right now. Yeah. Don't do that with me. You need to give it to Jesus and let go of the sinful nature. Stop being mean and malicious towards people. Stop with your sexual immorality. Stop with the things that are causing your right hand to sin. Like, stop. Because it's important that you get all in. to what the will of the Father is, and that you begin to seek after his face in all that you're doing. Turn from these things. Be what God's called you to be. You can find your true purpose and your true, the fullness in Christ Jesus. You understand what those scriptures are saying, the fullness. Man, I want to see you. I want to see you. How Christ sees you. I want to see you be all that you're supposed to be. And I know it's there. I've seen it in a lot of you. I've seen it. I've seen the miraculous change in your life when you have that aha moment. I call it the Moses radiant moment, right? The moment that you encounter God and you're radiant and you never want to be the same again. You turn from those wicked ways and you say, I'm not going to be a part of that. So now, let's get into this annual review. All in. All in. Man, I'm excited. Go ahead. Let's start this beast. I'm excited. I'm excited to rejoice. And here's why. On the next slide, we're reaching people. This is our mission. We're reaching people from the mountains to the sea, right? I mean, because we know in North Carolina, one of the reasons why we've created this mission statement is because people all the time, they say, why do you love living in Alamance County? They go, oh, we love it because, well, we can go to the mountains in a couple hours and we can go to the ocean in a couple hours. And then we thought, well, we want to be the church that are reaching people. So when you go to the mountains, you're an example for Christ Jesus. And when you go to the beach, you're an example for Christ Jesus. So no more two pieces. No, I'm only kidding. That was just a joke. That was just a joke. It's just a joke. That was my straight Christian school lace boy came out. I'm only kidding. But you are an example everywhere you go. You want to teach people the ways of the Father, right? And so that's what we're reaching people from the mountains to see. So in this report, you see that every opportunity God is moving in our church, and that we're remembering that every number represents a changed life. So here we go. So last year in 2019, we saw 32 salvations, okay, which was great. Now, I got to tell you, I'm not Debbie Downer on this. Sorry if your name's Debbie. I'm not a Debbie Downer. I am thrilled about 32 salvations. In 2018, we had 31. That's great. Absolutely. People are going to heaven. That's nothing wrong about it. 31 salvations, 32. Let's go a little bit stronger in 2020. You know what I mean? Man, wouldn't it be great if we were like hitting 50 and 75, right? That we're going out, we're really grabbing hold of the mission, the vision of mountains to sea. Let's bringing people into the fold. You know, let's do this thing. So we saw 32 salvations. However, we saw an increase in baptisms. We had 26 in 2018. This year, we have 47 baptisms. If you were a part of this annual review last year, you actually heard me say, I want to do better on baptisms. I actually said that, and I said, I want to see it multiply. I didn't give a number, but I just said multiply. I want to see us be better at baptisms. And sure enough, I can actually say, hey, that's good. We went from 26 baptisms to 47. That excites me. And then we had 160% increase in prayer responses. Opening up our prayer room, that's contributed to our prayer and care team. All of you that are involved in Tom and Hillary, getting all of you guys prepped and ready and making this more available, a more welcoming space, and opening up the altars as much as we could. Man, that's great to see that happen. That was something also that we talked about from 2018 into 2019, that we wanted to see this grow and be better. So I'm excited to see that. Now, the next slide. We had 602 first-time visitors. Man, that was a lot. You guys did great. Even though I said, 32 salvations, to see 600 extra people come through these doors this last year is tremendous. So it doesn't fall short as far as you guys didn't try. I mean, you guys had people come in, you know what I mean? You were bringing people in, and we do that through a lot of different efforts outside of just you guys inviting, but also through social media, advertisements, and so forth. And it was funny, I was out at a birthday party one time, and someone said, so you're the pastor of who? Of what church? And I said, Trailhead. He goes, Volkswagen buses. I go, yes. Because I've seen your buses. So there you go. Advertisements. They're out there. But so 602 first-time visitors and 97 first-time givers. So what's that saying is those 97 first-time visitors, when they come in, is they if when you begin to sow, you're making yourself all in. And so you saw 97 people actually declare, hey, this is my church, and I'm all in. I want to be a part of it. So that's actually a pretty decent percentage, and that's actually accurate. It's accurate for sure. So there we go. Now, in next steps, we saw that 347 total class attendance, which is tremendous. We are excited that we were able to have this particular space across the street, the co-op, that we can house classes for different reasons and different purposes. You've seen us have classes for financial needs. Right now, we're doing a resume job prep for people. We're helping people in that nature of trying to find a better job. We're not just the church that throws you in the deep end and says, you know, swim. We get involved with you. So for some of us, we're saying, hey, we're believing for jobs and better jobs. Well, we want to sow into you how to find a job and better job. We want to help you with these. And we also give you biblical foundations involved in all of those purposes and plans. So it's really great. So you see that we offered 14 of those classes. And then we had 62 people come into our Pathfinders course. Our Pathfinders course is our membership class for those wanting to find out more about our church. And it's also the gateway to volunteer at our church as well. We don't let just anyone volunteer. Those that go through the class, that's the purpose, so that you have the understanding standing in the vision behind our church, so you're not just saying, oh yeah, I'll volunteer. No, it's I have a purpose and I know why I'm volunteering. That's the meaningful reason behind the Pathfinders course. So seeing 62 attend, that was great. Now, here we go in the next slide. This is our attendance slide. You'll see an average total attendance of 465 and the average kid attendance 145. Those numbers are crazy. Some of you say, well, 145 kids, that's not very many. Actually, all of my pastor friends, this number's off, meaning in a good way. Our good problem is that we are an overabundance amount of children. We know how to produce kids here. Praise you, Jesus. And I love it. And we have a ton of pregnant women right now as well. And I love it. This is great. So, guys, it's exciting to see these numbers. Now, I will say, and we know, we've actually seen, I want to be honest, transparent, we've actually seen us plateau a little bit here at the warehouse, or sorry, at the theater. The theater is not a growth, even though we've seen 600 people come and visit, but this isn't a place where people go, I could find this to be really great, and then they step on an M&M. Or they look over at the youth facility and they see our makeshift kid space and they go, you know, it's okay. It's not hard walls and, you know, all that kind of stuff. The bells and the whistles. It's makeshift right now. So we've seen a plateau over the years since we've been in the theater. It hasn't been a huge growth period where we've grown. But we do know what's about to happen. We will see growth at the warehouse because it will be a more secure environment, even though this is completely secure. You guys know we have police officers out in front right now. Our security team is over there. All the spaces are completely safe and adequate for your children to learn in. However, it's not going to be as good as a fixed facility. We know this. In that, we know we're going to see some growth come. Now, this past year, we saw 663 people visit us on Easter. So that's really a tall tale of what's to come. We actually see more growth coming. Usually, with an Easter number like that, we'll see that that's going to be a more consistent number in the years to come. 663, and then on Palm Sunday, 541. And then we don't really know why August 18th was a big day, other than maybe just because we offered ice cream. Maybe that was it. And also with attendance, we saw 280 kids summer events. No, sorry, not 280. We saw attendance of 280 individuals come because of the events that we had over the summer for our children. We were unable to give them a VBS or anything of that sort, but we just did sporadic events for the children over the summer. And in that, we saw 280. And then we saw 30 youth go to youth camp this past year, which was tremendous. And then we see an average attendance at our youth group of 25, little rotten boogers with their dodgeball game on Friday. I was trying to kill them. They kept killing me every single time. So I thought if I threw the ball harder, they would avoid me. Not the case. I'm in so much pain right now. All right, here we go. Next, we saw active volunteers. We see active volunteers in our church, 199 active volunteers. Guys, that is a healthy number in our church. Very, very healthy. Our current church staff right now, we have 4 full-time staff, which is Pastor Dave, myself, Pastor Jeremy, and Pastor Christian. So our children's pastor, our creative pastor, our executive pastor, and myself, we're four full-time staff. And then we see part-time, we have 3, which would be Pastor Philip, our youth pastor, Pastor Katie, our connections pastor, and then Pastor Stephen, our worship pastor. So those are our 3 part-time. And then we have 13 volunteer staff, and that goes from our outreach directors down to you name it. There's Adam, Pastor Adam over there. There's all sorts of different little groups of people doing all sorts of different things. So we're just thrilled and excited about all the church staff that we have. But I want that to increase. I want us to increase our church staff to be able to manage and give you guys the best experience at church to meet all of your needs. And I want that to increase over time. This doesn't need to be the heavy load of falling on everyone. We actually have volunteers that come in. Dan and Mary Regal, they come in once to twice a week and help and volunteer a few hours a day. And that's just been tremendous. And we see Mark Schmidt as well. He comes in and takes a huge load. If I honestly, I'd be in a wheelchair right now if I didn't have Mark Schmidt beside me. I appreciate you. He actually does the bulk of the warehouse. I would say I would say he, in another 3 years, he could have built it all on his own. So good job, Mark. But Mark and Rob, Nix as well, man, tremendous help at the church. So anyway, you see social engagement, 2,513 followers on Facebook. I don't really know what that means, but we obviously know people like us. And doesn't it feel good to be liked? I know. It's a little false insecurities, but whatever. We'll take it. And then we see that we have 1,473 videos of hours viewed, which is quite a bit. And then in our website at our church, we see that we have 10,000 website users. And then we see that we have 8,000 visiting trailhead.info, which is great because that means you guys, only you know about trailhead.info. So that means you guys are using it. So that helps us, helps Pastor Jeremy know, hey, what I'm doing makes a difference. So it's important that we keep that up to date and keep it going and flowing. So it's really good. And then this average time on trailhead.church, our website, of 2 minutes and 1 second, actually that's really good. That's at very high. A lot of people's attention spans are like 20, 30 seconds. But to spend 2 minutes, that's quite a bit on a website. So it's really cool. As far as outreach this past year, you see that we had 105 Thanksgiving baskets, 175 first responders served. We see 95 fed at the sports dinners. We house for the football teams, basketball teams, different individuals. 68 free sports physicals given out in the community. We saw 60 Christmas break food boxes given out, 60 blood drive units. We see 75 Graham Middle Teacher Appreciation that we got to minister to them. And then we did Stuff the Bus this past year, supplying the schools and different things with the materials that they need to start the school off with. So guys, it's been a great year. We've got more to come. More things are going to happen. And this year, I am thrilled by this number with our missions. We were able to give $23,950 to missions this past year. And you can see all the missions that we support. It's been tremendous. We were able to bless them, and we want to continue to increase that number every year. We don't want to stop. This is something we want to get out there. So it's great. In our finances, so we saw $537,000 total tithes and offerings this past year. And in that, you'll see a net income of $46,000. And then a giving per adult was $32. That doesn't mean that everybody gives $32 a week. But that, if you break it down, that means it's a healthy number for us. However, transparency, we actually saw that in this, we actually decreased in our giving by 8%. So, and one of the reasons, sure, people come and go. And then we also see that some of us, we chose to give instead of continuing tithes and offerings. And then with our pledge, we just pledged and just gave towards the pledge or the journey home. And we didn't give tithes and offerings. So it's not like we were truly down 8%. It was just allocated in a different fund. And we saw that was what took place. Now, in that, what can 8% do? Well, 8% can bring in $50,000, and that $50,000 is another staff. What that can do is actually increase our ability to expand certain things within the warehouse. So $50,000 actually is quite a bit of money. I think we all know that. But that's where we trust and we rely on God, and we say, God, what is it? God, what do you want us to give? That's where we say we don't give out of compulsion. We give because we are joyful, cheerful givers, and that we have given what God has told us to do, that it's sacrificial and that it's regular. And so it's really, really important that we don't bow out and give up. When we stand strong, we don't allow the enemy to have a foothold on our finances. God tells us to honor him with those things. So it's important that we do this. Now, $537,000, that's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, because everyone in this room is like, that's a half a mil. Right? I know how everyone's brain goes. Man, that's a lot of money. And Pastor Josh is complaining. I'm not complaining at all. I'm transparently telling you what's taking place. Okay? So in that, we'll see the next one, expenses. 23% of that income went to operations. 34% went to facilities. 34% went to staffing. Okay. Now, in that 34% went to facilities, I want to let you know, and always let you guys know, that actually was also some of the warehouse that we, not some, all of the warehouse that we've been doing. So it was a higher percentage, and that's because we're doing things in the warehouse, okay? As far as staffing, 34%, you guys know I take care of our staff, meaning that I pay insurance. We pay insurance, full insurance for our staff. We take care of our staff, and we make sure that they are well-fed and taken care of. A lot of churches want to give their church staff nothing and tell them to work on nothing, and we don't do that. We actually give them a decent amount of pay in consideration to the average income of this area. Okay, and we base it upon a lot of different things, not just the idea of like, oh, let's just give this person this much money. We have many tools that we use to actually do this. One of the reasons why we're doing the annual report for you guys today is actually our board of directors will be in this week. And so Tom is on our board of directors with a few other pastors. And in that, they look over all that's happening within our church, and they help and guide us and direct us. They actually set my income. I have nothing to do with that. They set that. So it's really, really exciting that when they come, because they get to see the fruitfulness of what's happened this past year. They're going to get to see the warehouse. A few years ago, they would have told you there is no way you could ever buy a warehouse and do what you're doing. And I remember that meeting, and that was one of those bad, awful meetings. And then you saw us dig into the will and purpose of God, and we rejoiced in all circumstances, and then God just poured out. And he said, oh, yeah, get ready, guys. Don't worry. You just keep rejoicing, keep praying, and then boom, and here it was. And so now we're still in that right now. We're in that battle. We're that Nehemiah story right now, but we're doing it, so I'm excited. Now, the Journey Home Project. We're bringing it home. We're bringing it home strong, right? So with that, some of our pledging, the total amount that was pledged was $527,000 was pledged. So far, we're at 55%, but it's $246,000 have come in, and that's not just so far. That's actually the first month of that we started this in 2018 to here in December of 2019. So the numbers increased from 246 in this past month. I don't know that number right off the top of my head. I only have the numbers in front of me. But we know that we are on track, and some of us have not begun. And that's, I'm not crucifying you. I'm just letting you guys know. So some of us have not begun, and that's okay. I get it. Some of us are sitting here going, "Ooh, I don't know where it's going to come from." And some of you maybe didn't even pledge. And even in that, you're still praying it out. How can I give towards this project? How can I be a part of it? How can I be all in? And that's okay. Pray about it. Find out more information about it by going out to Next Steps and getting one of the information cards about the project and what we're doing. Because here in the next few months, I'm not going to tell you when we're moving in. I still don't have that date, but it is soon, meaning within the year for sure, and not in the fall time. So before the fall time, we should be moving in. I can't give you that false hope, but we're purchasing stuff right now. We're getting ready to purchase things. So it's important that we actually have the money in hand so we know, hey, we can buy this for sure. We can do this for sure. So it's really, really important. So just letting you guys know what's happening. So it's really exciting. So with that said, that's it. That's the annual report. If you guys have more information or more questions, then by all means, seek out Pastor Dave. He can help you out. He is tremendous with the numbers. He knows what's going on. I can help you out about this much. I know the numbers as well, but I really passed the buck hard over to Pastor Dave the past few months because I've had to be the project manager at the warehouse. So my head has been in the game of the warehouse right now. We are thrilled to tell you, it wasn't possible. We weren't going to take out the beam in the sanctuary because of the funds. But guess what? We did a year in review because of the hard sweat of the volunteers within this church of taking care of the demo. We actually have the money to take out the beam in the sanctuary now. So we've been having meetings involved in that process and going through the whole budget of the warehouse. So I'm thrilled to know that we can take out that middle beam out of the sanctuary so we can have a clear sight to the stage and not have a bunch of obstructions. So I'm just thrilled. But Pastor Dave's the guy you want to go to. You want to talk to him about these numbers for sure. But guys, we are an open book, very transparent. So if you have a question, don't hesitate to ask, okay? So with that said, if you have a need within the church, our prayer room will be open to you. Please go to that room, and we want to see you get delivered, restored, and healed because we know we have a God that's bigger than any circumstance you're going through. Got it?